What's a good next card to get? The Card Genie feature of the Travel Freely app prepares customized recommendations for you based off of what cards you already have, your 5 over 24 status, and current offers available on the market. You can even set filters based on if you are looking to open business credit cards, avoid international transaction fees, or earn points with a particular loyalty program. Check out the app for free by using the link in the show notes. Thank you to Travel Freely for partnering with us on this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipina-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
We had these same questions too. You know, we learned as a team, as we wrote about these things and tried to help, you know, the people that were relying on us to sort out their, you know, now upended travel plans, exactly what was going on. And we learned at the same time, you know, a lot more about refund laws in the United States, a lot more about, you know, really the absolute best airline programs to use when using miles in order to make sure that you're not basically pulling teeth trying to cancel that award or change it and get your miles back.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Kyle Potter. Kyle is the executive editor of the Thrifty Traveler website. Prior to joining Thrifty Traveler in 2018, Kyle was a political reporter for the Associated Press. In this episode, Kyle and I discuss how to find cheap flight deals and also an amazing trip he got to take on EVA Airways in points and miles with all of the plane's Hello Kitty glory. Check out the link in the show notes to sign up for Thrifty Traveler emails. And if you would like to try out Thrifty Traveler Premium, which filters results down to just your home airport and also sends you advance notice about deals in business class, flash sales, and more, make sure you use the code GeoBreeze to get $10 off of an annual subscription. And make sure you check out my free newsletter as well. Each week, I send out an app of the week recommendation to help you stay organized and earn more points with different apps. The newsletter also includes a secret link to a free points and miles coaching call with me. You will not find this link anywhere other than in the newsletter. Sign up using the link in the show notes. And now, on with the show. Hey, Kyle, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, we are so excited to have you here today. You work at Thrifty Traveler, which is an incredible brand that we will talk about so much in this episode. But before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about how you got started and how you got into the game of award travel and points and miles.
I am a pretty new entrant into this space, at least relatively speaking. I haven't been doing this for years and decades, nothing close to it. When I think about what really kind of where I started to get my feet wet with this stuff and where my interest really got piqued was a trip that my wife and I took to Vietnam, Thailand, and Japan back in 2017. So not that long ago. And just in trying to piece that trip together, it did a couple of things. First, it just got me down the never-ending hunt for a deal, whether that's for cheap flights or primarily now using points and miles to cover the cost of those flights entirely. And so it did a couple of things. It taught me a lot of the mistakes that I had been making before really diving into travel planning and travel hacking in particular. And it also showed me the power of points and miles, because this trip happened to line up perfectly with when I was proposing to my now wife. And so as we were putting this trip together was as I was in the process of buying a ring. So I opened a credit card, had all the money saved up, opened a credit card, paid for the engagement ring using that brand new credit card, earned a boatload of miles, used those miles to book our flights home from Japan. And it was that combination of things, piecing not just one, not two, but you know, five, six, seven flights together and using points and miles to help reduce the cost of it, where I really saw the value. And that's the thing is, once you do it in real life or you see someone in your day-to-day life do it, that's the hook that you need in order to start to dive deeper into this world.
So this proposal trip was your first?
Aside from using Chase points before I understood them or using Sky Miles that I had banked from being a toddler flying with my parents and not really knowing how they worked. Yeah, this was the first time that I had really redeemed points and miles to make a big redemption. And that really wasn't that long ago.
Well, congratulations. And also break down the details for us. How did you go about, which cards did you open? How many points did you earn from the sign-up bonus? Where did you transfer them? What airlines? What hotels? Give us all of the details of this first amazing redemption trip.
In this case, it was a pretty boring redemption. My wife and I live in Minneapolis, so we are Delta hub captives. If we want to go anywhere nonstop, we have to be flying Delta. So in this case, I just opened one of the Delta co-branded American Express cards at a time when they were offering, I think, either 60 or 70,000 miles on one of the Delta Gold Amex cards. And we used that to fly one way back from Japan, where we kind of wrapped up our trip visiting my wife's brother, who was teaching abroad in Japan at the time. So we used that to fly one way. And this was at a time when Delta could be relied upon for its award chart and its pricing. So it was 35,000 sky miles each to fly one way Tokyo back to Minneapolis in economy. So nothing super exciting, but again, it was that taste of being able to do that, what would have been a $900+ flight one way, which really, that's where I kind of got my first taste and really, frankly, got hooked.
Did you propose in Japan, you said?
I actually proposed prior to taking this trip, although my wife was very concerned before this happened that I was going to propose while we were in Ha Long Bay in Vietnam or on a beach in Thailand, and she was going to have to worry about her ring before we went. And luckily, that wasn't a problem. We took care of that beforehand.
Awesome. Did you get the hotels on points and miles as well during this whole trip?
That's the thing is, we didn't. Part of that was a combination of, for the places that we went in both Thailand and Vietnam, it's so cheap to stay in not just 3 but 4 and in some cases 5-star hotels that the pressure wasn't really there. It was also, frankly, pretty early in my points and miles journey, and I didn't really think beyond booking flights using points and miles. So no, we didn't. Although if I had to do it over again, maybe we'd stay somewhere a little bit nicer in some of these places.
Yeah, and that's an awesome strategy too, where I think a lot of people get really caught up on never ever paying money again for anything. And they go through all of this extra effort to earn these points just to get an $80 a night hotel for free. That's a very nice hotel, but you might as well like save yourself the time and just pay cash for the hotel, earn a few points, and then use them for somewhere else where it's maybe not quite as affordable. So no shame at all for doing partial points, partial money, because I think that's part of the strategy and part of the game, is you always just have to figure out what's the best thing to do rather than getting so caught up on never paying money again for anything.
Exactly. There is absolutely a time and place for using points and miles or free night certificates or whatever you may have at your disposal. And in this case, I stand by that decision. It wasn't that time, especially when we could stay at a 5-star resort in Thailand for $85 a night.
For sure. So when you were first getting started with points and miles, what's one mistake that you made early on where you want to say to listeners, hey kids, don't do
that? I don't have a big points and miles mistake per se. What I do have is just a big overall travel planning mistake. So actually when I was planning this trip, this is seared into my memory. It's probably the single biggest mistake I made. I just had it in my head that in order to fly to Bangkok, I needed to start from LA. So that was the only airport that I searching for economy flights from LA to Bangkok. And I booked it and we got a pretty good deal. And then a couple of days later, I just thought, oh, well, what if I search from San Francisco for a one-way flight? And it was $250 cheaper flying Singapore Airlines, which even that, it still hurts me to this day because Singapore Airlines is such an incredible airline. And to save money and to also fly that and also get a stopover in Singapore, it hurts. It still hurts. So to me, the lesson is just cast as broad of a net as you can, whether you're using cash or whether you're using points and miles, the amount of opportunities that you may miss on to use that cash or those points in a smarter way and get more out of them by broadening your search to maybe just even if it's a nearby city, not your home airport, or if it's casting as wide of a net as possible and searching from all of the major departure airports to get to the place where you need to go. But that really, to me, is one of the biggest keys to getting ahead, that level of flexibility and open-mindedness.
Singapore Airport is my favorite. They just give free samples of really nice things. I sampled some $300 cognac, just gave us free Grey Goose martinis. There was this skincare line called La Prairie. They had a $600 jar of face cream and they just like gave me free samples. I just slathered the $600 stuff on my face. I got a Dior makeover while I was just hanging out in that airport. Singapore Airport is amazing. Not to salt the wound that you missed out on it, but it's amazing.
Luckily, I've made it back there. When my wife and I went on our honeymoon, we came back through Singapore, and that alone salted the wound for me, because and I missed out on another chance to go through that airport and to fly Singapore again. So no harm. It is an incredible place. And if nothing else, people should go out of their way to not just visit the city of Singapore, but fly through that airport, because it is a special place.
I'm pretty sure we paid $75 to delay our flight so that we can stay in the airport longer.
That is a very wise use of your money.
So were you already working for Thrifty Traveler at this point when you got into Points and Miles, or how did you kind of incorporate the hobby and the day job?
Oh, that's a good one. I was not. And honestly, this is what really started me on that path. It happened pretty quickly. So this big trip that we took through Southeast Asia and Japan happened in 2017. And my wife and I got married in 2018. And in that interim, I just kind of put myself through school, trying to learn everything I can. And I'll be honest, I'm still learning a lot from all of the people, including yourself, in this community. But I decided that I wanted to do something with this. But mostly, my wife and I were getting married. We looked at the budget for our wedding. We looked at the amount of money that we had saved up. And I was like, oh, this isn't going to work. And I realized I needed a side hustle. So at the time, I was working for the Associated Press as a political reporter here in Minnesota. And I thought about the things that I could do in order to make some additional money to pay for our wedding. And the first thought that I had was, I could drive for Uber, because the Super Bowl was in town in Minneapolis that year. And I said, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to drive for the full weekend and then some, and I'm going to make a ton of money. Well, my car only had 4 seats. So Uber did not allow me to drive for them. And so my next stop was to message the guys at Thrifty Traveler and say, hey, can I write for you? And fortunately, they said yes. So I like to tease them that they were my backup option after driving for Uber. But it's amazing, because within a couple of weeks of writing for them just on the side as a freelance writer, writing about Points and Miles and just general money-saving travel tips, it became clear that this is what I needed to do. And so pretty shortly, we started talking about doing this full-time. And then soon after, my wife and I came back from our honeymoon, this became my full-time job, which is by far the best job I've ever had.
That's amazing. And for everybody out there with writing skills, I don't have a ton of writing skills. I like to talk more than I write, which is why I have a podcast and not a blog. But for all of you who have writing skills, there's so many different opportunities and different outlets to freelance and sell those skills to different channels, because it is a very specialized skill to be able to write about Points and Miles and how to do award travel, because it's very different than just writing about general travel, like, oh, and then we went down this unassuming path in Ireland with the cobblestone streets and had the best whiskey. Like, it's a very different type of writing, and one that pays a lot more because there's math involved. So anything that has math involved will pay more. So yeah, that's a pretty good career switch.
Like I said, this is the best job I've ever had. I get to write write about things that make people mad, like politics, like I used to, but I get to write about things that make people happy and help people do the things that they want to do more in their lives, which is honestly really incredible and fulfilling. It's been a lot harder for a lot of the past year and a half due to COVID, but with any luck and a lot of science, things are looking much better than they were a year ago.
Yeah. How did you guys navigate the pandemic? Because I know lots of different travel sites and lots of different point sites were really struggling during the pandemic. Did you guys see a huge dip in subscribers or advertising? I'm not sure all of the different ways that you guys make money. I know that you make money through the subscriptions, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but how was business during the pandemic?
You touched on the subscriptions, and honestly, there's no way to answer that question without going immediately to that, because that was the saving grace. We have a subscription model where we have a service called Thrifty Traveler Premium, where we send cheap cash flights, both domestic and international, as well as award alerts to book great business and first class cabins using points and miles. And we had built up a lot of goodwill through that. So we had a lot of really loyal customers and members who luckily stood by us while they couldn't travel and understood and were grateful for the fact that prior to COVID, they had been able to do a lot of things in part because of the deals that we sent them. And so having that recurring revenue was really huge to the company. People that were happy to pay another year annual fee because they understood that travel was going to come back. The other part of it was just we pivoted really hard. As soon as the pandemic hit, we understood that we were in a role where, you know, beyond what we do for our members sending flight deals and award space alerts, we could be a source of education for people to navigate an increasingly complicated decision-making process for doing things with travel as travel plans were canceled, as countries were shutting down. So explaining to people about the process of getting refunds and award redeposit fees and figuring out exactly how far COVID was going to go to disrupt people's plans over the course of the ensuing year. So to me and to the rest of our team, those things were really the key to getting through this, was leaning on our members who stood by us, thankfully, and also trying to continue to provide some value to them that they couldn't get from other places.
That is really valuable information, because I know that throughout the whole pandemic, I barely traveled because I'm like, I can't figure out vaccines, who requires what. We canceled at least 3 trips. It was a disaster trying to get our points back, especially if you book it through points, especially if you're booking it through something like a Chase portal or an Amex portal. Disastrous. So I'm sure all of your audience was very, very grateful to have that kind of information, because it was hard to come by. And it's hard to come by in Google too, because everybody's Googling these things. And if you're a smaller publication, people can't find you. So your readers had access to a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, that's what we tried to do. And look, you nailed it on the head. We had these same questions too. We learned as a team, as we wrote about these things and tried to help the people that were relying on us to sort out their now upended travel plans, exactly what was going on. And we learned at the same a lot more about refund laws in the United States, a lot more about really the absolute best airline programs to use when using miles in order to make sure that you're not basically pulling teeth trying to cancel that award or change it and get your miles back.
What kind of changes to travel do you think we're going to see with the new Delta variant coming into play? Because we saw coronavirus and then it kind of got better and people started traveling again, and then it might get worse again. So how does that affect your writing and what you guys are publishing?
We've been talking about this a lot lately. It's tough. On the one hand, it's very clear that things are serious right now with the Delta variant coming back and coming back pretty rapidly. Fortunately, because of the amazing work of scientists, not just around the country, but around the globe, we're much, much better prepared than we were this time last year to cope with future outbreaks and limit the hospitals being overrun. So my hope is that we're going to see kind of a light version of what we saw this time last. I think part of this is going to come down to the fact that when it comes to travel, in some ways, the cat is out of the bag. People have come to expect over the course of the last 3-4 months that they're going to be able to travel again. Everyone, you and I, all of our readers and your listener, pretty willingly in some cases gave up travel for a long time, something that they care deeply about in order to make sure that we all got through this together. And now we, within the past few months, we've gotten to a point where we can do that again. When you think about that, combined with the fact that countries like Italy, like France, like Spain, now the UK, Ireland, I mean, basically look across all of Europe for the most part, they have reopened their borders to Americans, in some cases requiring either proof of vaccination, negative COVID-19 tests, or both. It's going to be hard for that to get clawed back, to shut down borders again. So in some ways, it feels like we're in an intermediary period where we need to crush this latest outbreak of cases and prevent things from getting worse. But my hope is that this isn't going to have any longer term effects on travel. Certainly everyone's on edge, but if we can get through this and get more people vaccinated, we can get back to travel and probably most importantly, relatively worry-free travel.
And more convenient travel, because I know that, so I'm in Jersey City and it is a pain to find a PCR test or anything. I'm pretty sure I got super scammed last time and they charged my insurance like $1,000. It was like for a COVID test. It was awful. So I know that all of you listening very closely watch your points posting to your credit cards and everything. Those are small potatoes. Watch what's posting to your health insurance and all those medical bills, because that's where you are going to get thousands of dollars back if you check that. So sidebar there, but hopefully travel gets back to a little bit more hassle-free at some point in the future with the world, because I know we're all ready for it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. And I hope you're right.
And I know that you guys are sending out tons of deals, because I am on the Thrifty Traveler premium list and there's more than one per day email of here's a good deal, here's a good deal, here's another good deal. How many of these are you guys sending out per week? And how are you getting all of this content? How many of there are you on staff? Or is this just robots?
It is not robots. This is all humans who know the best ways to search for cheap flights, and in some cases know the best ways to search for award space that others aren't finding to use those points and miles. It depends. It depends on where you are and how many airports you have selected. So the way that our service works is that, you know, you sign up for Thrifty Traveler Premium, and then you get to select how many airports you want to see deals from. You can just pick your small airport in Iowa or Florida, or you can pick every airport in the country, or just pick your own hometown airport and then New York City and San Francisco and LA and Seattle and see what comes to you. Generally speaking, we tell people to expect 1 to 3 emails. And especially if you live in smaller town USA, that's certainly going to be on the lower end of that scale. But you know, the deals are out there, and there's been a lot of talk as travel has ramped back up through the spring and into the summer that these deals are disappearing. And I think it sounds like you can vouch for the fact that that is not the case. There still are great deals out there, especially if you're willing to use some cash for a cheap flight within the United States, down to the Caribbean, over to Europe, or wherever you're looking to go as you head out on your first big trip or your next big trip.
Absolutely. I can very much vouch for there are deals happening. They are flooding my inbox. I posted an Instagram story of, hey, Thrifty Traveler, how many vacation days do you think I have? Because not this many. And yeah, there are definitely deals out there. And I know that people ask me all the time, is there a way to, quote unquote, travel hack without having to open a whole bunch of credit cards? And one way is to just find cheap cash deals where you can save a lot of money. You don't have to get more credit cards if you just know where to get cheap cash deals. And aggregators like Thrifty Traveler is one of the best ways that you can do that, so that you are not trying to do all of this research on your own and being like, okay, let me check Expedia and now let me check Kayak and let me check Google Flights and let me check Southwest, because they don't let anybody like look on their site except for them. So yeah, just finding somebody to do that for you, like the guys at Thrifty Traveler, is amazing. How much is the subscription?
It's $7.99 a month or $50 a year. We have the kind of two-tier option. So certainly if you're interested in getting those cash deals, the annual subscription is a much better deal. And also, you know, we let readers know what some of these flights would cost if you want to use Chase points through the Chase portal or use Amex membership rewards points or use an Amex Business Platinum and get 35% of your points back on your preferred airline. There are ways to dive deeper into this world of that starts with cheap cash fares than just booking that cheap flight. But, you know, in a lot of cases, at least to me, paying, for example, $142 to fly from Minneapolis to the US Virgin Islands through the end of the year and into 2022 sounds like a pretty good deal.
For sure. So how big is Thrifty Traveler? How many of you guys are there who are searching for all of these deals and writing up these newsletters to send to the mailing list?
We have 7 full-time team members here in Minneapolis. And we just hired someone new who's started and is helping out with finding flight deals. But, you know, we all do a lot of different things. So really, the people who are finding these cheap flights and finding award space and sending them out to you and to others of our members is at any given moment, 2 or 3 at absolute most. And it's just because we have tried to turn this into as much of a science as we can. It's still art, more art than science. But, you know, over time, we've learned the right tools to use. We've built some of our own tools to try to find the needle in the haystack a little bit more frequently. And I think we've gotten pretty damn good at it.
Yeah, for sure. So with all of these different flight deals and all of these tools that you've gotten exposure to, what's the best trip that you've ever gotten to take on points and miles?
It has to be my honeymoon with my wife and I. So we booked EVA Air's Hello Kitty flight from Chicago to Taipei and onward to Bali in 2018, the day after we got married. And that flight will always be seared into my brain as one of the strangest and coolest and most amazing experiences of my life. Flying business class surrounded by Hello Kitty. I mean, Hello Kitty menu, Hello Kitty barf bag, Hello Kitty on the IFE screens. It's everything. It's more Hello Kitty than you could possibly want. And somehow it's not enough. And I am not a Hello Kitty person. I'm a very average white male. And it was still it was an incredible experience. And EVA Air is my absolute favorite airline to this day, largely because of that experience.
Hey there, points people. Are you interested in learning some next level tips about cards, airlines, hotels, stacking, where to find award availability, and more? Check out the Patreon at patreon.com/geobreezetravel. There, you'll find recordings of all of my monthly masterclass hangouts, as well as some special bonus content. And now, we are also doing some gift card giveaways each month to some lucky Patreon members. Check out the show notes for the link to join. This week's Patreon shout-out goes out to Regina. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community.
I have flown on the Hello Kitty flight, I think, that exact same route. It wasn't from Chicago. We flew from Denver through Vancouver, through Taipei to Bali. And we were in economy, but we stepped on the plane and I didn't even know it was going to be the Hello Kitty plane. I was just like, oh, EVA Airway, that sounds like a good airline. And we got on the plane, Hello Kitty everything, like the outside of the plane is painted in Hello Kitty and we're approaching it and we can see it from the jet bridge. My husband's like, is that our plane? I'm like, yep, that's our plane. And he's like, is this how you got cheap flights? Because we're on the children's plane? Is this a children's flight? Are we surrounded by screaming children for the next 12 hours? And he was like, low-key panicking, where he's like, oh my God, they're just going to like play cartoons and music like the whole time. Like, we're going to be put into the children's section. The seats are going to be even smaller because they're Asian children. There was like this whole like, why is this flight cheap? How did you get a good deal? And yeah, the Hello Kitty flight, EVA Airways, which is great, by the way. And I love their snacks. You get like these little Hello Kitty-shaped goldfish crackers. You get super cute bento box things. And this is all economy, so I'll let Kyle talk about the business class experience in a little bit, but food is super cute. The pillows are super, super cute. Everything, there's so much cuteness around you in this plane. The flight attendant uniforms, also super cute. Just super cute flight. What was business class flight like on this?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, everything, the food was really great. Some of the best food I've still had on an airplane in business or first class to this day. It was a Hello Kitty flight, so of course they had rosé champagne. They had Veuve Rosé, which was equally incredible. The service was still the best I've ever had on an airplane. And part of this is I have my Hello Kitty tinted glasses on because this was our honeymoon flight. This was the first time that either of us had really flown long haul international business class. But I'm going to just babble on about it. So you're going to have to cut me off. It was just one of the coolest experiences. And like you, we booked this flight at a time when I thought that they would no longer be flying the Hello Kitty plane from Chicago. And I thought, great, we're going to miss out on 15 hours of Hello Kitty. Perfect. And then as the flight came closer and closer, it became clear that we were going to be on this Hello Kitty flight. And honestly, I'm so glad that we were, because from start to finish, even with the Hello Kitty shtick aside, it was a phenomenal flight. But that Hello Kitty part of it just elevated everything. And so I wrote a story about this after the flight, where I ranked all of the amenities on a Hello Kitty scale. So the Hello Kitty barf bag got 5 Hello Kitties. Some of the other amenities, like the slippers that didn't have a Hello Kitty logo on them, got 0 because you couldn't rank them on the Hello Kitty scale. It's ridiculous in the best possible way.
And this was ranking it as how Hello Kitty-esque each amenity was. Like, oh, the rosé champagne, it's pink, so it gets a couple Hello Kitty stars. But the barf bag has all of the characters on it, and the pillow has all the characters. Was there like a blanket? Did they give you pajamas that were Hello Kitty? Like, did they give you headphones that had Hello Kitty ears? What else? What was the most Hello Kitty amenity?
I think the barf bag was one of the few that got 5. I think the Veuve Rosé champagne also got 5 Hello Kitties, because it was that perfect combination of there's a little bit of Hello Kitty here, but also it's just a very nice champagne. So I have to give this 5 Hello Kitties. And the pajamas got none. They were just kind of the standard EVA business class pajamas, which were amazing, but no Hello Kitties. So that got 0 Hello Kitties.
How much would this experience have cost if somebody just paid money to do this?
I want to say that these flights would have cost us about $5,500 per person from Chicago to Taipei and then onward to Bali. And we booked these flights using, I believe, 78,000 Avianca life miles each.
That's not bad.
No, it was a great redemption, and that's still bookable today, so far as I know.
Still Hello Kitty.
Still Hello Kitty, not in Chicago. I think it shifts around every couple of years, but it's definitely worth looking out for it and trying it if you haven't yourself.
Sounds good. And where did you guys stay when you were in Bali? Was it a points hotel, or did you do another one of the just cheap cash fare Asia hotels?
This was one of those cases where, you know, we stayed at a local resort on the east coast of Bali. There weren't many, if any, points options. And we found this amazing local resort where we had our own villa with a private pool overlooking the ocean for, at the time, it was about $120 a night. And that would have been easily probably $800, $900, $1,000 per night, basically anywhere else in the world outside of Southeast Asia. So it was one of those cases where doing something like booking it through hotels.com to earn, you know, credit for, you know, booking 10 nights, get the next one free, was the best that we could do to stay in an amazing place that we really couldn't have done any other way.
That is incredible. And these are some of the deals that you can find on Thrifty Traveler too. Do you guys do hotel stuff or just flight stuff?
Yeah, every once in a while we'll send out deals for the best hotel deals that we can find just on thriftytraveler.com, as well as sending them to just our free daily newsletter.
Oh, good. So you have a free newsletter as well as a premium one.
Yep. If you go to thriftytraveler.com, you'll get a prompt to sign up for our newsletter to get a flight deal every once in a while, as well as just our guides for using points and miles, news in the airline industry, which is always changing, and everything else we do.
Amazing. And with everything that you have learned in points and miles and great award flights and everything so far, what would be your number one piece of advice that you have for listeners today that if you could sum it up for one Instagram quote card, what would it be?
Nobody knows your travel goals better than yourself. That's hard to wrap your mind around as you're just getting started in this, because there are so many knowledgeable people in this space and so many places to get information about the best credit cards and the best points and the points that you should be earning and the airline mileage programs that suck. But that is one person's perspective or one website or one group's perspective. And so the best thing that anyone can do is learn the basics in a good place and then figure out how that applies to your own travel plans and goals. I think too many people get hung up on the perspective of one or several people about maximizing your points for the absolute highest dollar amount or collecting one airline or credit card currency points or miles program because it's the most valuable. But that's not going to work for everyone. So if you can get a solid foundation and use that to shape what's going to work best for you and what you want to do for your travels and do to use points and miles, that's the absolute best thing that you can do.
That's excellent advice. I get so many people who come to my coaching calls, which if you want to do that, you can grab the link in the show notes to book one. But I get so many people who are like, I need to make the most of my points. I'm going to hoard them until I can stay at the Hyatt Paris Vendome or fly first class Emirates to Dubai. And I'm like, guys, I haven't even done those things. I just use my points and miles to take some cool domestic trips, go to the Caribbean, get some nice Hyatt staycations in New York City. Like, you don't have to be perfect in every sense, where there are some people who are so afraid to ever use their points or to ever even get started with the game because they're like, I don't know everything and I want to make every move be perfect and I want to save $20,000 instead of just $2,000. I'm like, you're saving $2,000. Like, it's pretty good. And as you get deeper into the game, you'll earn more and more points, you'll learn better redemptions, you'll get more out of each point. And I would very much caution people from getting some kind of analysis paralysis where you're so afraid to make a move that you just miss out on free travel this year because you're like, I'm going to study this for another 3 years before I ever do anything. So all that to say, just go ahead and get started. And everybody has their own style. Use your points in a way that just makes you happier with traveling. And that's all any of us can really do.
Yeah, the best use of points and miles is for something you wouldn't otherwise afford or pay for. That means something completely different to every single person that you talk to. And honestly, as I think back to the lesson that I learned about not searching for flights from San Francisco and only searching from LA, the biggest teacher that you can have is by making a mistake. That mistake that I made almost five years ago now is still informing the things that I do at a much higher level than I was 5 years ago, just learning what Delta SkyMiles could do, just learning what Chase Ultimate Rewards are. I'm still folding that lesson into everything that I do today.
Absolutely. Great advice. And speaking of great advice, can you give a shout out to somebody else on the internet that people should go follow for awesome points and miles advice?
Yeah, I have two. The first is Dave Grossman from Miles Talk. I love reading Dave. This space is filled with a lot of big sites where everyone zigs and zigs and zigs, and Dave is constantly zagging, doing something different, finding value where others don't, searching for value where others are focusing on kind of the hot topic of the day. So Dave at Miles Talk is a great resource to make sure that you're finding the things that other people are missing. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention Spencer from Straight to the Points. Nobody does award alerts better. I try trying to find award space for people to use their points and miles and have an amazing, luxurious first or business class experience. But Spencer is honestly the best in the business doing things that no one else is. So people who especially want to get that $20,000 redemption using their points and miles, flying Emirates or Etihad or whatever to somewhere fancy, you have to absolutely follow Spencer and sign up for Straight to the Points.
I concur. I've met both Dave and Spencer in person now. We all get to hang out in New York for an industry event. both great guys, awesome value. And I subscribe to the Straight to the Points newsletter as well. And he sends out a lot of content for how to get these business and first class flights on points, walks you through exactly what the transfer partners are. It's a great newsletter. You should subscribe to it. And where can we find you on the internet, Kyle?
Yeah, I personally am most active on Twitter at kpottermn. Otherwise, I and my team are publishing stories every single day at thriftytraveler.com. You can go to thriftytraveler.com/premium to sign up for our premium flight deal notification service. And Thrifty Traveler on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of the social things.
Awesome. Well, it was so great to have you on the show today and to get to learn about your amazing Hello Kitty experience, first of all, and your proposal story, but also all of the amazing value that we can find with Thrifty Traveler. So everybody, please go check out their site. And thank you, Kyle, for coming onto the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!